All right. Here we are. We are back. Coming at you hot. Hot off the presses of UFC 300. We are back to the basement. Let's go, baby. Everybody's favorite basement in Vegas. The Apex. And we have a flyweight five-round fight, which is actually pretty sweet. Mateus Nicolau versus Alex Perez. And we're going to break that down for you folks today, as well as the other cards, the other fights on this card. So, naturally, we will start at the top. This is the Technical Knockout podcast, the Hardcore Casual MMA podcast. I'm your host, Hussein. That's Jordan Patrick James. Here he is. Let's do it. All right, let's break this shit down. We got Mateus Nicolau versus Alex Perez at flyweight. This whole card, really, not a ton of names. I mean, obviously, when you have such a crazy card like UFC 300, you kind of use up a lot of star power there. So we will see how things shake out. But regardless of there not being a lot of names, there's a lot of interesting fights on this card, actually. You know, stuff that maybe at first glance looks a little simple, but when you look a little bit further, you're like, oh, that's a pretty good fight. So let's do it. Starting at the top, flyweight, top 10 matchup. Alex Perez, who is scheduled to fight again not too long after he fought most recently against Muhammad Makhachev. He's fighting Mateus Nicolau. Perez, if people aren't familiar, is very good with his leg kicks, very good boxer, and a pretty decent wrestler to boot. He's had a lot of trouble these last few years getting into the cage, whether it be from his opponent getting injured or him getting injured or somebody getting sick the day of the fight or the week of the fight, anything like that. There's been a ton of problems for him to get into the cage, but he did get in against Makhachev. And honestly, I thought, you know, he had a pretty good argument for winning that fight. Third round was probably the slimmest of margins that somebody could win a round by. So Perez had a pretty good showing there. And he's fighting Mateus Nicolau, who is the definition of a hot and cold fighter. The guy will do very well in a lot of his fights. He'll do very shitty in the fight and then come back in them. So kind of an inconsistent guy, but whenever you do see him have success, he's very exciting to watch. So he's coming off of a knockout loss, the first knockout loss of his career, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, that is not right. It's the third knockout loss of his career, but the first time he's lost in years since 2019 against Brandon Royval, when he got caught with that knee and the punch combo right behind it, where Royval kind of like threw up the knee and then landed the jab over the top of it and caught him clean. Before that, he was on a pretty good win streak there with 6 wins in a row against some pretty top-level competition, guys like Manel Cape, Tim Elliott, David Dvorak, and most recently Matt Schnell. But the book out on Nicolau is he has great body work. He likes to go to the body with the hooks. He likes to throw the flying knee. He likes to throw the leg kicks. Pretty measured striking approach, but whenever he does open up, it can be pretty exciting. So dude has a pretty interesting style. Against Perez, I think we'd like to see him use some of that outside fighting game and keep Perez on the outside of his shots. I think he's going to have a lot of success by doing so. If the fight does go to the mat, it's a pretty interesting matchup because Perez, like we said, is a pretty solid wrestler. Maybe not, you know, a submission threat, but definitely a control guy. And Mateus Nicolau, on the other hand, is a scrambler through and through. So the fight does go to the ground. I expect it to be pretty exciting, but I do think this fight's going to take place mostly on the feet, where I expect Mateus Nicolau to just have a few more tools, a bit more cardio, a bit more creativity, and get this one done. Nicolau, I think, is going to come back in the win column here. For Perez, I'd like to see him get a dub here, but I think, you know, at the ripe age of, what is he, 36? He's only 32? Holy shit. Wow. That guy is... fights old. for 32. That's incredible. I didn't know he was 32. But yeah, I kind of feel like his time is coming on in this game. He hasn't really improved a ton since he started in the UFC, whereas Nicolau, you've seen him have his peaks and valleys. And coming off of a knockout loss, I expect him to come back pretty strong here. So I got Nicolau in the main event. I'm just going to go money line. I don't know. I don't really have an outcome for this one. I think if anything, maybe he could get a knockout at some point, but we'll see what happens. Do you have a pick here?
No, it'd be interesting to watch. I'm interested to see Ryan Spann get back in the cage.
Yeah, man. Co-main event, Ryan Spann versus Bogdan Guskov, a.k.a. Evil Anthony Smith. Dude, looks like Anthony Smith if you put him through a like the Batman Bane treatment, like, you know, that I forget what they called it, that green liquid that they smoke in the Batman games. That's what Bogdan Guskov looks like. He is a tough customer, though. You know, he's a hot striker. He comes out of the gates hot. Dude looks for the knockout very early in all of his fights, and he might find that here against Ryan Spann. Ryan Spann has not looked great as of late, but is still a huge guy for the weight class at like 6'7", or 6'5", rather, with an 82-inch reach. He's coming off of two losses himself over Anthony Smith in a very boring and weird fight. And then before that, he got finished by Nikita Krylov in a fight that he was winning and then ended up getting submitted. So for Spann, inconsistency is certainly the word. He wins two, loses two, wins one, loses one. Against Bogdan Guskov, he's definitely getting a step down in competition. And there's a good chance that he can get the victory here. You know, Guskov has been finished in the UFC before. I think he lost to, who was it? Volkan Oezdemir, if I'm not mistaken. Let me find out. Yeah, he got submitted by Oezdemir in his first fight in the UFC, and then his last fight, he knocked out Zach Pauga, who's a former heavyweight who's really not that good either. I think Bogdan can catch Spann early, but if he doesn't, there's a good chance that he gets finished in this fight. So I think either way, this fight's not going to go the distance. I'd honestly probably put it at under 1.5, to be frank. But I'm really not sure who to pick here. The underdog, they have Bogdan Guskov as the underdog at plus 150, and I kind of like that number. So I might just side with the dog on here. I think it might just be dog or pass for me. What do you think, Jordan? You got Ryan Spann?
Like you said, he's inconsistent. That's the hard. I don't like betting on inconsistent fighters. You know what I mean?
That's fair. Yeah, we'll see what happens, though. Next fight, you got Ariane Lipski versus Karina Silva.
I'm excited for this one. I was just looking at this one, and I am actually really kind of really, really liking this one.
Yeah, I mean, Karina Silva has had some good success in the UFC. Maybe not the most active fighter, but the fights that she does have, she looks good. She's a great grappler and a finisher through and through. Out of her 21 matches, she's won 17 of them, lost four. All 17 of those fights that she won has been by finish, either by knockout or submission. So she's definitely a solid fighter, definitely an action fighter, grappling heavy game as well. And she draws Ariane Lipski, who has looked like a completely new person as of these last few years. Lipski looked like a monster on the regional scene, came into the UFC and kind of had some middling success, you know, came out pretty well and then started to fall down a cliff. And I was worried that she wasn't going to, you know, live up to her potential. But she proved everybody wrong in these last few years and getting victories over women like Casey O'Neill, Melissa Gatto, JJ Aldrich, who's a tough fight for everybody. Lipski's looked very improved. Her striking has always been a problem, and now her grappling seems to be catching up a little bit. So I think, you know, as far as the trend goes, she's trending upwards. And she has the momentum on her side. And I like her in this matchup, you know. Karina Silva is a very strong, dominant grappler. And she will likely have some good success there. But I just think Lipski has that dog in her. And I don't know what it is that is pulling me towards her that I feel like she just has a little bit more of a well-rounded game and has fought the higher competition for sure. So we'll see how it all shakes out, but I think I'm going to side with Lipski here.
I think we'll see Silva win, but I do like the pick with Lipski at plus money. So that makes more sense as far as trying to get a value out of it. Because Lipski, like I said, she's been on a tear these last couple of years. You know, I like seeing that momentum going, but Silva's got, you know, I feel like just as much momentum going on her side as well. So it'll be an interesting fight.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm excited for it, man. That's a pretty good... That's what I mean when I said, like, you look at this card, maybe you're like, oh, these fights kind of suck. But when you start to think about them, they're actually pretty good matchups, you know? They seem like exciting matchups, at least. Maybe not divisionally relevant, but pretty solid stylistic matchups. Next, you have Austin Lane versus Jonathan Deniz. whose nickname, his name actually looks more like a misspelling, a typo, but that's his real name. Dude is 6-0 in MMA with all knockouts. He's a former Glory kickboxing fighter. I think he got the belt there, if I'm not mistaken. But dude's been around for a while in the striking scene. And obviously that is his path to victory. He's fighting Austin Lane, who is a former NFL defensive end, I think. Guy fought on the Contender Series. Pretty solid power puncher. Fought Greg Hardy. Fought, who was that? One of the Taffa brothers got eye poked, and then they fought again, and the Taffa brother knocked him out. So, I mean, Austin Lane, big athletic heavyweight, but not very skilled. Dude hits hard, and that's pretty much it. He doesn't have a martial arts base, you know? So I'm going to side with the Glory kickboxer here. Call me crazy. I think, if I'm taking the big strong guy versus the big strong guy who has 15 years of kickboxing experience, I like my chances with the kickboxer. So, heavyweight fight, I expect it to be pretty short and fun. I think this fight's probably going to be over in round one on either side. But yeah, I'm going to go with Denise. Next, you got Jonathan Pierce versus David Onama. This is a really good fight here. Jonathan Pierce coming off of one of the stupidest losses I've ever seen, where he was fighting Joyerson Brito, and he was doing pretty good in that fight, grappling Brito and making him tired. And then he told Brito in what, I don't know, felt kind of had some racial undertones to it. I don't know. It was weird. It was a weird phrasing, but he said, something, boy. And Joyerson Brito got up and did something and choked him out and left him in the ground there. So, I mean, you know, for Pierce, he's a pretty solid fighter. He had that spinning back fist knockout not too long ago. He's got some, you know, submissions on his record as well. But definitely more of a well-rounded, bring it to you, put the fight in your face kind of guy. Likes to slow people down with his wrestling. David Onama, on the other hand, comes out the gates swinging hard. And has gassed out in the past because of that pace that he puts on early. Most famously got him in trouble against Nate Landwehr, who is an absolute dog. Look at that bicep, baby, you know. but, you know, regardless of that, Onama is a very hot starter and a very athletic and dominant fighter. If Jonathan Pierce can withstand that early onslaught, I expect him full well to get a finish in the second or third round. But I am going to side with Onama here. I think he just has a little bit more explosiveness, a little bit more power, a little bit more speed. And I expect him, if he fights a smart fight, to be able to use that to win at least two rounds and probably lose a third and win a decision that way, if not get him out of there early. So I'm going to go with Onama.
I'm not sure. I'm probably going to just watch this one. I totally forgot about Jonathan Pierce, about him getting finished. I do remember him looking fairly good up until that point. So I'd say as long as he can stay in it, you know, maybe keep his mouth shut and just focus on the fight, then he should probably get away with that victory. Look at Tim Means coming back though, baby.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, Tim Means trying to get another dub here. I don't know, man, he should have retired after that Fialo fight, but, for just to circle back real quick. I mean, I think that Pierce Onama fight, either fighter can get it done. So I think it is a good matchup that way. And it kind of fits the theme of this card where it's exciting matchups that don't have a lot of relevance. And speaking of exciting matchups that don't have a lot of relevance, you got Tim Means versus Euros Medic. Euros Medic has a solid left body kick. He is a Slavic Ukrainian. I forget where he's from. Serbian mixed martial artist. Definitely more of a striking style than anything. And his last fight against Oleg Bick, that guy that his eyes are like right here on his face. They're right next to each other. Fucking hilarious. Looks like a caveman or something. He was outlasted in that fight. Oleg Bick was able to get the grappling going, and that's kind of been the story of Medic's career, whereas if he can get his striking going and, you know, work into a pace, he can do great work. If somebody is challenging him in the wrestling department, it's kind of it's been a problem for him. You know, his only two losses are by submission, and all of his victories are pretty much by knockout. So I kind of expect Medic to get it done here against Means. Means is a great grappler for sure, but he's very old, very washed, and he's never been an offensive wrestler. He's much more of like a punch you until you shoot for a slappy takedown, then slap a darce on you kind of grappler. So I think Means is in a little bit over his head here against Medich, and I think Medich is going to get the knockout. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think Tim Means should have retired.
Yeah, he should have went out on that dub, man. That was a good. That was
you're
a good.
Chasing a high, man. You're you know? Chasing a high. Is what's happening.
It is
happening.
What it is. Yeah, and what he was on like a 3-fight loss streak before that. Come on, man.
But yeah, I mean, no if they're going to keep on paying him.
That's true. I'm sure he's getting paid a good amount of money because he's been in the UFC for a while. Hopefully, he makes at least like $150,000. But we'll see what's up. I do think Medich is going to get that dub, though. And then going to the prelims, we got some pretty interesting fights on these prelims. A couple ones I want to touch on here. Hani Yahya versus Victor Henry is an awesome matchup. I love it. Victor Henry is all action, all pace, all grappling, all striking, just putting every tool he has in your face for three rounds. Maybe not the most best finishing ability, but definitely a very high-paced, high-action fighter. And he's fighting a guy who is the antithesis of that in Hani Yahya. And the last time he fought somebody who has that kind of slow-paced, pressure cooker-type style, he lost against Rafael Sunsau. So this is an interesting fight for Victor Henry. We're going to see if he learned his lesson, so to speak. Hani Yahya is certainly not the striker that Sunsau is. So, you know, if he can't get his grappling going, there's a great chance that he just gets smoked on the feet here against Victor Henry. And the odds have him at like minus 670 or something. So oddsmakers certainly think that Henry's youth and activity is going to be enough to get it done. And I do agree with them. But I'd love the Cinderella story of Hani Yahya slapping on another arm triangle over a hungry prospect. That'd be pretty cool. But, you know, the smart money is going to be on Victor Henry here. I'm going to go with him by knockout or decision.
I'm excited to see Victor Henry get back in action. The first time I saw him was at that UFC 294 where he got kicked in the balls and couldn't go anymore. That first round, I was like, oh, man, I like the way this – yeah, I know, because, like, that first round, I like the way this dude fights. I like the way this dude moves. So I'm excited to get another chance to see this dude work. I think that he's probably the smart pick in this one.
Yeah, for sure. I think the youth is can't be understated in this matchup. Hani Yahya has been ancient for like 6 years. So next you got Austin Hubbard versus Michael Figlak. This is a fight that is pretty cut and dry for me. Michael Figlak knows how to wrestle. Austin Hubbard is allergic to wrestling, so I'm going to go with Figlak here. There's not much more I need to say about it. I mean, Hubbard's a great striker, but he's always had trouble against these grindy guys, and that certainly fits the bill of Michael Figlak. So I guess I'm going to go with Figgy here. Then you got Dontel Mays versus Kyle Machado. That fight sucks. Chris Padilla, Fernando Padilla's brother, is fighting, so that might be interesting. Ketlin Souza is fighting. That's not who I think it is, right? No, okay, Ketlin Souza. I was thinking of Ketlin Vieira. Yeah, no. And then easy fight to pick, Ivana Petrovic versus Liang Na. Anytime you see Liang Na's name on the card, bet against her. Easy W. I don't know this Petrovic girl. She has some knockouts on her record. She lost her UFC debut, but she's not Liang Na. So I'm going to go with
she's
her.
Got like, she's got 19 wins though. You know, then, there's that. Yeah.
Who? Na? Yeah, but they're all against fucking chumps in China. You know what I mean? Like, she padded up her record. Once she got in the UFC, you saw she's just so slow and weak. They say she's a grappler. She has a lot of submissions, but if you see her on the ground, it's like a fish out of water. I don't understand. So I'm fading Liang Na anytime. I'm surprised she's still in the UFC, honestly. I think it's just to build the name of other fighters, rather. Then you got Gabriel Benitez versus Mahashate. This is a fight that I'm worried, man. I'm worried about Gabriel Benitez. I really like Gabriel Benitez. He's got great leg kicks. He's got very fast punches. He is on the wrong side of 35 for sure. And he's fighting Mahashate, who is a heavy hitter. And Mahashate is a heavy hitter, but he doesn't have much more going for him. So Gabriel Benitez can fight a smart fight, stay on the outside, use the leg kicks, use the speed. I can see him having a lot of success in this fight, but I think the more realistic outcome is that Mahashate finds that chin some point in the first or second round and gets Benitez out of there, unfortunately. But we'll see how it goes. Let's do the betting slip real quick. Going down from the top to the bottom, I'm gonna take Mateus Nicolau by money line. I'm gonna take the Ryan Spann fight to go under 1.5. I'm gonna go Ariane Lipsky money line. I'm gonna go Jonathan Deniz by knockout. And I think that's all I'm going to... I'll take Figlak, too. I'll put Figlak in there. And I'll fade Liang now. I'll put Petrovic by a finish.
I got nothing.
You got any picks on this one, Jordan? That's very fair. It's very fair. This card is certainly not a better's delight. But this looks like it should be a pretty good fight. So we'll see how things go. You know,
there's a lot of times that we're going to get these fight cards, right? Where these people that are getting their chance to shine after all these other guys got a chance for the big spotlight. So who knows? But we never know. We might be talking about this last week, saying Liang Na got the knockout of the century.
Especially when you stack up cards like 299 and 300. Right. Yeah, that'll be the day. We'll see. But thank you so much for listening, y'all. It's been a pleasure. And hopefully we can make some bread this week. Have a good night, y'all. Take it easy. Peace. Much love.